Well, have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever wrestled in your sleep? Struggled wondering what was going on? No, I wasn't sure what that... Ever had a dream you couldn't interpret, maybe?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
This morning we're going to turn to the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of a great nation, men that God called even in spite of themselves, in spite of their difficulties, they became the foundation for what we know today as the community of faith. So today we're going to hear about Jacob and his wrestling and his intentionality about being persistent. And I pray that in your wrestling that you've remained persistent with God and continue to follow God and His leadings in your lives as we work together.
For our special music today, it comes all the way from Minnesota, and we have Miss Abigail Street.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the say the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more."
Thank you.
The scripture lesson for today is Psalm 17, 1 through 7, and then verse 15. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the words of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from your foes. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness.
Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, and we read these words from beginning with chapter 32, verse 22. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed Jacob. And so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed from Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Well, have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever wrestled in your sleep? Struggled wondering what was going on? No, wasn't sure what that... Ever had a dream you couldn't interpret, maybe? I think that's what happens in this story. But we really have to turn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they are three of the most important men in Old Testament scripture. And it is upon them that much of our story is written. Much of our heritage of the Christian journey is written. Men who in and of themselves were not always perfect. And we say, sometimes we say, "Oh, I'm not worthy of God to love me. I'm not worthy of God to use me." But yet God used these three men in ways that, in spite of themselves, God still used them to make his plan come to pass. And so we hear this morning about the person of Jacob. Jacob's life was marked at four different stages. Now you remember that Jacob was part of a set of twins, Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac, and they each had their own talent. Esau was much hairier and much better hunter, and Isaac was growing old in age, could not see, and wanted to give Esau his proper blessing and birthright. Well, Mama and Jacob played a little trick, if you recall. She dressed Jacob all up to make him look like, feel like Esau, sent him in with a meal to Isaac, who could not see, and Jacob promptly received Isaac's blessing, took Esau's blessing from him, and when Esau came in, Isaac may have realized that he had been duped, if you will. And so Jacob runs away at that point from the home. Jacob's name in stage one, if you will, as he comes into life, is that he grasps the heel. He deceives. Jacob grabbed Esau's heel from the very beginning, a sign of what was to come, and then fled the home. And he had to take with him that birthright and that blessing that later on God saw fit to confirm, saw fit to go ahead and bless him with something that he had actually stolen from his brother. And so God first appeared to Jacob in that flight from home. And God not only confirms that blessing, but he awakens in Jacob a personal knowledge of God. Now notice the word knowledge. It doesn't say that Jacob has an internal, a heart change. It's simply that Jacob becomes aware in his mind that there is something larger than he is. And God puts that in his mind. And a lot of us might say, well, I have a great knowledge of God, but we've never made that transfer. We've never made that change from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. And at some point in our journey of faith, it has to move from here into here. Because up here won't serve us nearly as well as if it's in here. So keep that in mind, if you will. Next stage of Jacob's life is that Jacob experiences in the reverse the same deception and manipulation that he puts over on Esau, his brother, along with his mother. You remember that Jacob finds Leah and Rachel, has a wonderful, loving relationship, really wants to marry Rachel. But she was the second of Laban's daughters. And in that culture, you didn't marry off the second daughter. You married off the first daughter. And so Laban, he stayed with Laban and worked for Laban for many years in order to inherit and learn the right to marry Rachel. And at the point at which they were about to be married, Laban sneaks Leah into Jacob's bed and he sleeps with Leah and wakes up to discover that he's with the wrong woman. And so he stays with Laban even after he's been tricked, waiting for God to give him permission to finally leave Laban and to go away. And so in that encounter, Jacob waits 6 years. How many of us would wait 6 years to leave somebody that had tricked us and deceived us? Would you wait that long in somebody's service who had treated you harmfully, badly? Probably not. But Jacob waits 6 years before leaving the presence because he wanted God's permission. He wanted God's permission to be able to leave Laban and not just run away as he did in his debacle with Esau. He didn't get God's permission, then he just left. He knew he had done wrong, and so he left the scene, left the crime, if you will. But this time, because of his understanding, his knowledge of God, he waits for God to give him direction. Now we go to stage three, and Jacob is the one who is now grabbing onto God. God has grabbed onto Jacob before, but now Jacob is grabbing onto God, not letting go of God. He experiences, like Abraham, a name change, as we heard. And he's now referred to as Israel. But he struggles and he wrestles with God. And he realizes his dependence upon God, that he can't do anything in life without God being a part of his life. He's got to depend upon God. He's found that God is dependable. God is trusting. God is capable of doing what God will do and says he will do. And so Jacob grabs onto God and becomes essential in Jacob's life. And finally, God gets a firm hold on Jacob. And Jacob will not make a move of any kind without seeking God's direction and guidance and approval. So let me ask you, in your life, where are you in those stages? Are you at a stage of having just personal knowledge of God? Or are you at the place where you're seeking God's approval or waiting for God's approval? Or are you dependent upon God? Or are you fully looking to God for God's direction at all times and places? I hope it's the latter. I hope it's the latter. I hope you fully understand that you are dependent upon God, that you ultimately can't really do much of anything without God. God guides and directs everything we do, if we'll allow Him. But sometimes we're in our human condition, if you will. Oh, now wait a minute. I'm not sure God's working quite fast enough. God's not working this out the way I would like to have it worked out. So I'm going to get in and I'm going to manipulate and maneuver it a little bit and tweak it so it works out to my advantage. What happens when we do that? We muck it up, don't we? We muck it up miserably, and then we come crawling back to God going, oh, I made a mess of it. Get me out of this. Have you ever done that? We all have at one time or another. And if we'll just let God have it, if we'll just let God take care of it, ultimately it will work out the way it should. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have difficulty, we won't have struggle, we won't have disappointments in the midst of that, because we will. But ultimately, God works for the best of those who love God. Let me ask you another question. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Do you know what your strengths and weaknesses are? You know what you do well and what you don't do so well at? Because the things that we're strong in are some of the very things that can then get us in trouble. Those very things can pull us down, can pull us out of whack. Has God ever made Himself known to you? Have you ever had the sense that God was sitting right smack in front of you? When I was getting ready to ponder going to seminary, I was trying to work it all out so that I could go to mother and dad and say, okay, here's what's going to happen. Well, the one piece I was having a little difficulty with was how was I going to pay for all this venture? Because I knew it wasn't just going to drop in out of the sky, and the money wasn't just going to land in my lap all by itself. And I remember one time at that point I was living in Huntington. I was still working in the addictions unit. And I remember one night very clearly there was a presence in my bedroom, and I was probably having a wrestling night with God. How is this going to work out? I sense that this is what you want. This is what you have me to do. But how is it going to work out? How are we going to, you know? And I can remember as clear as now, this presence said, do not worry about it. I have it covered. I don't know about you, but that gets your attention, does it not? And I wake up and I'm like looking around going, I'm not seeing dollar bills on the wall. I'm not, you know, it's like, but very clearly I had heard, I've got this covered. Got this covered. Well, I was really trying to work out, making sure I had all the ducks in the row so that I could go. And I don't know that my father has ever heard this story, by the way, and he's with us this morning. But anyway, my mother knew that there was something going on, but she didn't know quite what. And she called a friend of mine who was their pastor at that time and was talking to her. And she in turn called me and she said, I don't know when you're going to tell your folks, but you need to tell them soon. Because your mother is pressing me as hard as she can press. And I said, I'm not ready yet. She said, I know you're not, but you're going to have to do something. Well, as luck would have it, my mother actually was the one who told me about the job that I would eventually get that would pay for me to go to seminary. Guy, have this covered. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but God had it covered. So when has God made Himself known to you? So in your wrestling, when you're wrestling with God, how do you do with perseverance? How do you do with persistence? How do you do with being persistent and staying with it? And hanging in there. Because sometimes it's not easy to be persistent, is it? Because it it's a trial. It's a struggle. Shouldn't be this hard. But sometimes it is that hard. Sometimes things are that hard. But yet we see in the life of Jacob, we see his willingness to be persistent, his willingness to hang in there, his willingness to stay there and to stay with God and to wrestle and to work it out. His willingness to stay with somebody who had deceived him, who had manipulated with him, and wait for God's direction. Wait for God's leading. So my call for you today is when you're in that midst of struggle, wait for God. Sometimes we need to be still, as Isaiah says, be still and know that I am God. But we are so bogged down by all kinds of stuff. We just need to listen for God. And sometimes we have to stop and shut up and just be quiet in order to hear the voice of God. So how are you doing with wrestling? How are you doing with persistence and perseverance? I invite you, if you're struggling these days, to be patient, be persistent, persevere, and wait for God. Wait for God to guide and direct and lead. And He will lead you through that difficulty. Amen.
He hideth my life in the deep.
Go out now knowing that God goes with you. God will be with you in the midst of your struggle. God will be with you as you persist and stay constant with him. And may you know that he approves and will approve and will give you his blessing when you seek his face. Be still and know that he is God as you walk through this week. Amen.
The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ her Lord?
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.